flown through the life of Moses and in the life of Moses. And tonight is the final part, and we're going to try and wrap up some bits in the series. And I've got a few things that I want to share with you this evening. Before I do that, though, why don't you just turn to someone next to you? Why don't you welcome them, ask them about their day, and I'll just set myself up a little bit and then be back with you in a couple of minutes. Okay? Great, do that. Sounds like you're making good conversations. Great. There's plenty of time also afterwards for tea and coffee and stuff, but you can continue those conversations if you'd like to. Okay. I think if you're taking notes, I think I'm going to call this message Distinguishing Features. Okay? Distinguishing Features. That's what we're going to do tonight. And I want to take a look at And try and weave some of this message into the other things that have been said across the series. One of the things that happens in this amazing encounter with Moses and God is that Moses asked for the presence of God to go with him because he believes that nothing else will distinguish them other than the fact that the presence will go with them, that God goes too. And so I want to talk about distinguishing features tonight. What were the distinguishing features of Moses' life in some of the things that we've already talked about? What are the distinguishing features of our own lives in the way that we interact with God, in the way that we carry ourselves forward in our lives and relationship with God? What are our distinguishing features as believers? Before we do that, I want to just go back a little bit in the story, and at the beginning of the passage, we see that Moses used to take a tent. We just bought a new tent actually recently. It's really good. We went camping with Jane Collar and a load of other people. Moses used to take a tent, and he used to pitch it a long way outside of the camp. And anyone who wanted to inquire of God, that's what the Bible says, would go to the tent and interact with the Lord in the tent. And it was called the tent of meeting. I want to reference that because this is part of the chapter that struck me and stood out to me as I looked through it a little bit this week. And I wanted just to give you some context of that because I felt like it was really important to do so. Now, going back in the story, Moses has gone up the mountain again. God has called Moses up the mountain to receive the law. And as part of that encounter with God, God communicates and has communicated, I think, before that he wants to dwell among his people. God has said he wants to dwell among his people. And one of the reasons that the tabernacle was designed was for God, which is another more extravagant, larger tent with lots and lots of things inside. Was for God, the reason that was there was for God to be able to dwell amongst his people. It was a place where God could live, essentially, to be. And he wanted to be among his people. Now that's significant because as we reach chapter 33, it seems that God doesn't now really want to be among his people in the same way. The reason for that is because of what happened with the golden calf. And the calf incident, we could call it calf gate, couldn't we? The calf incident, the what? Yeah, very good. Incident happens while Moses is still up the mountain. Now it says that Moses had been gone and he was up there 40 days, 40 nights. And so it's not that long, but he's been up there long enough by which the Israelites have decided they want to build a new God. And so they do their thing. And as Moses comes back down the mountain, the tablets with the law on get smashed into pieces as Moses sees what's going on. And then we get to the start of chapter 33, which we didn't read tonight, but it says this. God says to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. So the reason that Moses takes his tent and he pitches it a long way outside of the camp because at that moment in time, because of what happens with the calf, God can no longer dwell in the same way amongst his people. So they all have to go outside of the camp to meet with God. One of the things that I was reflecting on as I looked a bit at this passage, and I just, these thoughts came into mind, and a lot of this tonight will be just kind of thoughts that I've had. And one of the things that I was thinking about was that we are like a living tent of meeting, aren't we? The thing about the tents are, is that they're portable. They could go anywhere with the camp. And this little bit here talks a lot about tents. And people standing at the entrance of their tents. And there was a sense of portability about the journey of Israel because they had to be on the move all the time. And I was thinking, well, we are a living tent of meeting. A place where God dwells and exists. Where we meet him and he is here. He is in us and he is present in us. And we are a living tent of meeting. And that felt significant to say tonight, for some reason, it felt significant to tell you and to remind you that you are a living tent of meeting. You are a place where God resides. You are a meeting place of God. Please don't forget that. Don't forget how incredible that is, that's true, that you are a living tent of meeting, that God takes residence inside you. Don't forget that, okay? All right, let's move. So, distinguishing features. I was thinking about some of these things that distinguished God, and I want to read the bit that talks about that again. It says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me, with your people, unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. That phrase at the end is really interesting to me because he knows all the names of all the people forever. He knows their names, but he says to Moses, I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. I know you by name. There was something in the relationship there. Something that speaks of the intimacy that they had created and formed. I know you by name. I will do the thing you've asked because I know you by name. There's an intimacy there, which I want to talk about again a bit later. So what distinguishes Moses? I want to pick on three things real quick. The first thing, and Paul talked about this in the first week, I think, is the burning bush. Exodus 3. If you've got a Bible, just flick over to Exodus chapter 3. I think the first thing, or the things that we've talked about anyway, that distinguishes Moses is his statement of intent when God calls his name. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look at the burning bush, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. I think one of the things that distinguishes Moses is his "here I am" statement. The "here I am" of Moses sets the tone for the next 80 years of his life, I think. The bush happens, it's on fire, and God calls his name from within the bush, and he says, "Here I am." I don't know what your response would be to that burning bush. From within it comes your name. I don't know what your response would be. Moses says, "Here I am." My question, I think, for you this evening, in that first distinguishing feature, is what is your response to the fact that God knows your name and he calls you by name and he desires relationship with you and he wants to call you forward? What is your response to him as a loving father? What is your response to him today? Is it the "here I am"? Now, Moses was in a funny place at that time in his life. But his response wasn't dictated by that for some reason. And I want to challenge you with that tonight, that sometimes we withdraw from God on the basis of our circumstance. And when he calls you by name, do you give him a "here I am"? So whatever's going on for you at the moment, wherever you're at, whatever's happening in your life, could you tonight just say to God, "I'm here"? There's no expectation on that statement. Sometimes it's all you can do. Sometimes I say to people as they come into church or whatever, or they've had a rough week and they come through and they're just, sometimes I say it's enough to get through the door. Like, sometimes you did great just to get here in the building. You did really well. Doesn't matter. You got through the doors. That's a statement of that sometimes. That no matter what's going on, "here I am. God, I'm here." Does that work in your life? Is that something that you could take away from this evening? No matter what's going on, say, "God, yeah, I'm here. I am. I'm here." Okay, number two. In the second week, Andrew talked about a number of fantastic things. And I think the second thing out of the things that we've talked about that distinguishes Moses is that he made progress in the areas of stretch in his life. We see him make progress in the areas of stretch. So what Andrew talked about and he alluded to was the fact that as the encounter in Exodus 3 and 4 continues, we discover that Moses is not very capable or doesn't feel very capable with the way that he speaks in front of people. And so after Moses declares before God that he just doesn't want to go and see Pharaoh, God says that he'll send his brother Aaron with him. And so Aaron begins to do the speaking on his behalf. But as the journey continues, and Andrew talked so well about this, as the journey continues, what we discover is that it goes from a place of Aaron said to Pharaoh to Moses said to Pharaoh. Moses made progress in the areas of stretch in his life. Clearly for him, speaking in front of people was a stretching thing. It was hard, it was challenging. For whatever reason, it was a place of stretch. I think we've all got places of stretch in our lives. Places that feel slightly uncomfortable, things that we don't think we're good at, insecurities that we live with every day, what lies we believe, whatever it is, there are areas of stretch in our life. The thing I love about Moses is that he clearly makes progress in the stretch. He clearly takes on the challenge and he clearly sees a difference in the areas of stretch in his life. So my second question for you this evening is, do you know where the areas of stretch are in your life? Do you know what these things are for you? Do you know where it's slightly painful? Do you know where it is slightly challenging? Do you know where your insecurities are and what they are? And do you know the lies that you believe from Satan? Do you have all this stuff? Do you know it? But more than that, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the areas of stretch in your life? How are you going to make progress? How are you going to see change? How are you going to go from Aaron said to Moses said in whatever area or arena that we're talking about in your life? One of the things that I think distinguished Moses was that he embraced the stretch and he embraced the challenge and he made progress. And I love that about Moses. Number three. The other thing that I think distinguishes Moses on the basis of this passage is his hunger for God. I read somewhere earlier today that at this point, at Exodus 33, God, he had already seen the promises of God or received the promises of God. He had already seen the power of God at work. He had already been guaranteed God's presence. And here he just wants more of God's person. He'd received the promises. He was guaranteed the presence. He'd seen the power. And now he wants more of his person. Now show me your glory. Now show me your glory. Sometimes I think we want to check a load of spiritual boxes in our lives. And sometimes that's because of the way church presents kind of spirituality and Christian life and how it might or should look to you and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's because of that. Sometimes because we like to check things off because we feel like once we've done something, we've said we've done it and it's the done thing in our lives and we can just go, yeah, that's sorted in my life. Sometimes we know we've received promises from God and we check the box and we go, yep, the promises of God are forever faithful. And sometimes we see his power and that's an amazing thing and we say, yep, I've seen the power of God. I know what the power of God is. Sometimes you know what it's like to experience the presence of God. And you know what it's like in your individual life or in a corporate setting. You know what it's like to experience the presence of God. And again, you check the box. I know for me, I know what it's like to experience the presence of God. And you check it off. And we check off all these boxes and then we forget about the relationship. We forget about the shifts and the changes that happen in any relationship. Moses had received promises and he'd seen the power. And he just wanted more of God's person. He just wanted more of God, to know more of what it was to know him, to experience him, to be with him, to encounter him. He just wanted more of God, to know his person. Now show me your glory. One of the things here that Moses is distinguished by is his hunger. My third question is, what does it look like for you, not for us, for you? What does it look like for you to be hungry for God? What does that mean? What does that mean for you? It's a weird phrase. It's a weird phrase, and we use it, and it's a weird phrase. But what does that mean for you in the way that you live and the way that you experience God and do your life alongside him? What does it mean to be more hungry for him? It's going to be different for everyone in the room. But sometimes if we live by the checkbox system, we think we've just got it all done and it's down and it's sorted. And progress is hard when we're ticking boxes. But in the midst of the relationship, it's all different. And Moses walked for 80 years alongside the Lord and had seen amazing promises fulfilled. And he had seen amazing acts of the power of God. And here he just wants more of his person, just wants more to know him more. In in a minute when I finish, I want you to take a moment on that one last point. What does it look like? What does it mean for you to be hungry for God? There are three distinguishing features here. Number one, the here I am of Moses. The here I am. Number two, the progress in the stretching places. And number three, the hunger for more of God. I want us to take a moment now, as I finish, to reflect on those three things. I want you to reflect on whichever one of those things particularly has resonated with you, if any of them. And I want you just to, I don't know what it means for you to talk with God or to communicate with God. However it means for you to talk and communicate with God, do that with that particular thing. And we're just going to take a couple of minutes reflection, and then we're going to come back. We're going to pray. We're going to worship together, and we'll see what God wants to do. Okay? Okay. Take a couple of minutes.